Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. We've got another good night started. We just praise you, Father, for an awesome time with you tonight, Lord. Because we know what your word says about praying. We know what your word says about the promises. We know what the word says about what the devil is, where the devil is, and where you are, Lord, and where we are and where he is. And we praise you, Father, that we got the victory. And I thank you for it, Father. Tonight is no exception. We praise you, Father, for an open heaven. Pipeline right to the throne, Lord. And I thank you for it, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that the devil's under our feet. We take complete dominion over him. Devil, you ain't got a chance around this bunch here. They're full of faith and full of love for each other. And they got their battle gear on. And I praise you, Father, for that. Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Tonight is no exception. We're going to have a great time with you, Lord, and with each other. And we thank you, Lord, that you would speak through us. Give us the scriptures that we need to remember. And, Lord, we just praise and thank you for all that's going to be accomplished in each of us tonight. In Jesus' name. All of those across the land, across the waters, cross everywhere. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that we're just right here together as one fellowship in the name of Jesus. We lock ourselves together in Jesus, and we praise you, Father, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. That looks like a prisoner's number, doesn't it? What is that, Andrew? My, my, my. All right, has anybody got a prayer request? Oh, that's, I better get that off there. All right, anybody got a prayer request? Yes, Julie.
I have a prayer request, if you would all pray in agreement for me. I found, well, it's been there for, I don't know, there's a little mark. I don't know if those you can see, there's a mark here on my beautiful skin here. Started, I don't know, maybe a month ago or so, and I just prayed over it and stuff, but it's kind of gotten bigger and darker, and it's, I don't know if it's like a, it doesn't itch or anything, and it's not, it's just there, and I can kind of feel it. It's not like it's protruding or anything, but it's like kind of rough, and just whatever skin infirmity it may be, it cannot be on my flawless face, in Jesus' name.
Amen. We command her skin to be returned just as soft as a baby's butt, in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. She's got some great skin, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's done, girl.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? Something going on down there. All right. No more prayer? Look like you got a haircut there, Andrew. No, sure looks like it.
You washed it and it shrank.
Oh, my. My, my, my. Yes. Warfare tonight. Yes, Patrick.
Having a hard time with my controls here today. Bingo.
guess my camera is not communicating. Listen, I have been under the gun, it seems like, all day. And it's like, woke up this morning, going through the Psalms, and the Lord blessed me through that process as I was, but every one of the Psalms are basically, that I read was, David was crying out in the midst of, in the midst of the struggle. But today it just seems like things are coming in from all over the place. Saw a video of some of the debauchery there and some of these parades that are going down or whatever, and it's just, I feel like there's just an overwhelming sense of evil coming in against, you know, just a spirit of depression or oppression or whatever you, however you describe it. But I just feel like it's hammering me today specifically, and thoughts flying all over the place, and they need to cast thoughts down, and they keep coming back, and more thoughts, and Julie posted it perfectly, warfare tonight. And I just feel I need to ask for prayer and clarity from the Lord as well, for to make sure that I am obeying what he would have me do, cooperating with him in this process that he's got me in. And so I'm just asking for prayer for that specifically tonight.
Okay. Let's pray. Everybody believe with me. In the name of Jesus right now, I cast down all vain thoughts, all pictures that keep coming across his mind in the name of Jesus, because he has the mind of Christ and he doesn't accept it. We command those things to come down in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for the praise and the worship of you, because that's what takes it out to you. In Jesus' name, we just praise you, Lord. And we thank you that Patrick's mind has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. He doesn't have to accept it. Glory to God, he is cleansed of this garbage in the name of Jesus. And anybody else that's been watching, we command these images to go from our brains in Jesus' name, to think nothing but good thoughts of Jesus. And we praise you for it, Father. The blood of Jesus washes our mind in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that it is done, Lord of God. It is done. We break the power of Satan trying to come against us with these thoughts and trying to throw them in there on us. In Jesus' name, we command you by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to cease your activity right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's done.
Amen. Amen. It's
done. Glory to God.
One of the things that was, I would just like to, I think there was a certain amount of depression in not so much in seeing some of the actions that were done, but what was really, I guess, disheartening, if you could say that, is that people, families, had their children out watching this. And I'm thinking, you know, what is wrong with those parents that they would allow their children? And it just, I don't know, it stymies me. It kind of overwhelms me thinking just how far we as a nation have slid away from God. And you know, how I'm thinking back of these messages that David is teaching now. And it just seems like the timing and the time is right for revival and just a renewal of just people turning to God. That's all I can say. So anyway, thank you for the prayer.
Amen. This debauchery would not have been allowed 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, anytime. Just pick time. This is craziness. This is where the you can pick the Democrats who is for immorality, killing babies, debauchery, all types of debauchery, or you can pick the other side, which is somewhat better. Okay, or pick Jesus. That's better. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Geneva.
Okay, can you all hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So the Lord is so good. Last week when I asked you all for prayer, I was at a weak point just because I was really having to fight my flesh about several things and, you know, just family things. Family can be hard sometimes. You know, Morgan's family was here and it was just a little rough. But anyways, so the Lord answered my prayer because I asked him that, you know, during the trial for him to give me wisdom, you know, and to not act out because I didn't want to look back and be like, Lord, why didn't I do that? So I definitely feel like he blessed me with that. And in return, I feel like through, you know, his obedience and things of that sort, what was awesome is, so we come to our new house and, we thought we were going to have, you know, a lot of money to move in and, you know, we'd had it saved and whatnot, but, come to find out, this is how the Lord blessed us when, we moved in. We got to keep an extra $1,000. So there was that, praise the Lord. And then we thought we were going to have to, because the lady, the landlord, or the company who owns this rental house, they said that, you know, there's not a washer and dryer. There's hookups. So we were like, you know, we're going to need money for washer and dryer. And funny, because at our old house, the landlord there didn't care to fix the dryer because she knew we were moving out. So we had gone 2 months without a dryer. We'd been hanging our clothes up out on the fence. Made us look really great. So, you know, you do what you can. So anyways, good thing we live in Florida. But so we move in and I open up the garage and there is a washer and dryer hooked up. So praise the Lord for that. And then it gets better. I'm looking around and the people left a big flat screen TV. Not that I'm really going to use that, but it's good for, you know, baby play her little cartoon thingies on there. She likes to dance to some little dancing fruit songs. But anyways, fruit of the spirit. All right, come here. She's getting fussy. Anyways, so that was pretty awesome. And they left a mower. So then we had a mower to mow our yard. So it's like the Lord just, I mean, washer and dryer. We got to save some money, you know, got a TV and a mower all when we walked in. And I mean, tell me, you know, the Lord will supply your every need. I believe it, you know, so that's a lot of money right there. We would have had to dish out and God just supplied all of that. And, you know, Morgan was so happy and we were so happy and we thanked the Lord and we prayed over the house and, you know, it's just so great. And, you know, I will be honest, this bathtub is, it's amazing, but the colors are just terrible. It's brown and yellow. That perfect. Speaks to the bathroom. I know, perfect. But, you know, I told Morgan, I was like, it's the ugliest, but I love it. I sure do. So anyways, thank the Lord, you know, and we have so much space. I don't even know what to do with myself. It's like I have to walk a mile to get to the kitchen. So it's just great. So little girl will have space to run around and whatnot. So I just want to thank the Lord. He's so good.
I got a question.
Yes.
When you found the washer and dryer, the mower, did y'all do a hallelujah dance out there?
That's what I was doing. Yeah. All the neighbors
all right, praise God.
You're interesting.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. All right. Who's next? Yeah, Claire. Hi, Claire.
Hi, everyone. I have a pretty cool praise. So I've had one pair of running shoes for 5 years. And just last week, where we run, like there's, you can imagine, it's lots of forest stuff and then lots of mine gravel everywhere. Okay. So it's a bit strange. And it's wearing on my shoes because I'm running more outdoors with the children. So anyway, I said to Rian last week, Friday, babes, I think I'm going to need to get some new shoes. And that was all. Like, I didn't really even pray about it. We can just buy new shoes. Like, it's not an issue, right? Yesterday, my worldly neighbor, comes to my door with a brand new box of pink Nikes. Pink is my favorite color. Like, and she says, I bought these on sale and I can't return them and they're not the right size. So maybe your kids can use them. So I'm like, yeah, the kids could use them because I didn't know what size they were. But then I was like, but the kids already have shoes. So I said, well, maybe I'll just try them on. I mean, they're perfect. They're just perfect. So awesome.
God.
The Lord would gift me because it is my birthday month. So it's just so lovely that he would. Yeah, just do that. It was such a big spoil. And I ran with them yesterday and they were comfortable. And I'm so blessed by that. And she was such a blessing. So I just pray that she would be blessed as well, that the Lord would multiply everything for her as well.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Claire. Happy birthday. To you, how old are you? No, you don't have to tell that.
And many more.
Many more.
Praise God. Thank you, Michael. That's very kind. Yeah. Yes, Greg, forever 33.
33, okay.
No, I just said forever 33, right? Like Jesus.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now, Michael, you just gave it away. You can sing, so we're going to have you praise God for us.
Okay. If you can handle it, I can stand it. Oh, yeah. Julie hits her head. Oh, my gracious. All right. Who's next? Yes, Claire.
I have another praise. Okay. On Monday, it's Wednesday here. So on Monday, we were having, I think, breakfast or something. And Mika just said, my tooth is really sore. And last week, a little bit of her tooth kind of just broke off, a baby tooth. So I don't really, it's not a problem. You know, she'll have another one. And I wasn't entertaining the thought of going to the dentist or anything because I know that this baby tooth is going to come out eventually. So it's not an issue. But the fact that it was sore kind of put a little bit of, you know, like an instant of doubt. And then I just rebuked it and we prayed for her. And within like 5 minutes, there was no more pain. It was amazing. The Lord just took it away. And then she was having a rough day and she's like, Mommy, I don't feel well. My throat is sore. And she was all, you know, and we just prayed again. And within, it was less than an hour. And I said to her, how's your throat? And I didn't want to, you know, I don't want to like force the children to make a false confession or for them to stretch beyond what the Lord has done. But I was, you know, just being concerned. And she just said to me, Mommy, it's completely fine. The Lord healed me. So the Lord is so gracious. Amen. With the children. Amen. I'm so blessed.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. I've got a testimony also. It's an awesome testimony. I can't tell all the particulars of it, but I'm just going to tell you a general. We had a need. the ministry did, that David and I prayed, commanded it, and it materialized in an awesome way. So I just praise you, Father, for doing that, because of honoring our commands and the promises you've given us, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. That's right, Gabriel. That's right, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Also, another praise report. We've been hit with witchcraft, is what we figured is, with on our vehicle, some of our vehicles, one of mine in particular, Brandy's, a couple of others. And today, I had an appointment to go to the mechanic to check mine out. And I called the mechanic to see if the guy was going to be there that was supposed to work on it. And he said no. So me and David just prayed for it. And it runs fine. Praise God. It runs fine. I don't have to take it to it anymore. Thank you, Jesus. And I know Brandy's is too. Amen. His is healed too. Thank you, Father. And I have one more thing. We've been hit with varmints coming into the house. I told you about the millipedes. And now we've got ants. I believe it's just witchcraft. I think that's all it is. It's trying to discomfort us. So David and I pray, but I want y'all to believe with me too, okay? Will y'all believe with me? In the name of Jesus, the name that's above all names, I command these varmints, millipedes, ants, anything else that's trying to invade our home to die. Go outside and die. Don't die in this house. Go outside and die in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, it is done. And I thank you, Lord, for a ring of protection around this house in Jesus' name, that nothing, absolutely nothing, can infest this house anymore in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. We've never had this happen before, so we know that's what it is. There's no more. Not little old bitty tiny black ants. Get on everything. No more. They're gone. David just said, go ahead and eat them. I ain't going to hurt you. I said, well, no, I couldn't do that. Go ahead, Missy. If you know David, he'll eat anything. He says a pine tree. He said you can eat a whole pine tree if you wanted to. I said, you go ahead. I like biscuits and gravy a whole lot better. Go ahead, Missy.
That reminds me. In the spring sometime, we have Fudge's food over by the back sliding door. Not by the kitchen, which actually the sliding door is in the dining room off the kitchen.
Well, get you one that don't backslide, for goodness sake.
Listen, it's the back sliding door. Back. Ha ha, funny. Anyway, sliding door. And anyway, we have her food set up with a tray there. And there were ants coming in somewhere around there. And I was getting in her food and I was rebuking them, and I had gone and got some of that clear tarot tray stuff. And it's been a while, and I just felt, I just decided to not use them. So I took them back because I wanted to believe the Lord for it, basically was the gist of it. And we were having this battle with these ants, and so I decided that until we were done with this battle with the ants, I was going to take Fudge's food and put it at a different spot. And we'd still see some ants coming in and stuff and everything, you know, and then when I thought they were gone, I put it back, and then they were getting in her food again. And I just rebuked it, and it just dawned on me when you were saying about that, you know, that we haven't had any ants come in, you know, and getting her food. So praise the Lord, you know. And it was like the other day when I was watering one of my plants right outside the door there. When I watered it, all these little ants come out, and I'm like, "You are not coming in my house." I didn't know if that's where they were coming from, but they were in the soil of the plant there, and I'm like, "You are not coming in my house." But anyway, so thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I didn't have to go to the arm of the flesh. I don't ever have to, but thank you that I didn't take that route, Lord. I trusted you. Amen. Praise you, Jesus, for taking care of them ants.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. They're a curse. They got to go. Yeah. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Lord.
Hey, everybody. I also have a report in regards to bugs. I planted a flower bed from seed late this spring, and all the flowers came up, and I was so excited, and I even had to scoot a few of them around after they were pretty big, because they were crowding. And once I had transplanted them, they started wilting and they looked like they were going to die. So I commanded them to get up, and they got up in the name of Jesus, and they're nice and strong and coming back to life. And I think it was yesterday I came home and discovered, I think they're zinnias, completely covered in Japanese beetles. I was devastated. I was like, what do I do? So I started chewing them all off. And of course, they just fly up and come back. I tried to collect them in a bucket, and they just fly out of the bucket and go right back to where they started. And so I was like, to Theo, I was like, hey, babe, take a look at this, you know? And he's like, well, tell them to be gone in the name of Jesus or else they're dead. And so I said, okay, amen. We agreed. Mama говорит, подожди, подожди, okay, подожди. And so I had just agreed with him and left it at that. But I still kept thinking about, man, how do I keep them away? They've already eaten some of the leaves. They've already eaten some of the leaves to pieces. And so this morning I remembered that I had that earth powder that kills the bugs because it's got those shards of special minerals. And I thought, I'm going to go out there and I'm just going to dump it all over the leaves of the zinnias and hopefully that'll take care of it. And I go out there and I start shaking that stuff all over my plants. And I'm like, there's not a single bug here. So I go to the other half of my garden and I dump some more. And I'm like, there's not a single bug here. And it's been like that all day. So hopefully the wind just blows the stuff off and, you know, it's no use. But not a single one on my plants. Praise the Lord.
Amen. We had an infestation of those Japanese beetles too. David just went out there, had a whole clump up on the roses. He just went out there and grabbed them, crushed them around, threw them out in the woods.
No, I'll collect them in a bucket, but no squash around for me.
Yeah. That's good. Thank you, Father, for protecting our gardens in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Claire.
My husband just texted me and asked me to share this testimony as well, which is probably in line with everything that everyone's speaking about. And we, you know, we've got a few chickens, and one chicken, when he went with Daniel to go check out the coop and everything on Sunday, one of our little chickens was limping and she had a really inflamed foot and all of that. And so they prayed. And you can guess what happened. But yesterday when I looked out the window, I have four chickens with eight normal feet and no particularly inflamed feet. Everything is looking amazing and egg laying is up. So praise God for lots of baking. And thank you, Lord, for protecting and healing our chickens.
Amen. I love chickens.
I like mine roasted.
I like mine fried, but that's what a southern thing, you know. No, I had a bunch of chickens when I lived in Sweetwater. Had 45 of them, and I fenced around some trees. That's the best way to do it. And they can get the bugs off of trees. Oh man, I just had a wonderful time with those. They were keeping everybody in the eggs. Anyway, that was a long time ago. Yeah. All right, anybody else?
Are you still doing prayer requests? Is that what you're doing?
Do what, Debbie?
Are you still doing prayer requests right now?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Coming in here late like this.
My daughter called me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just getting ready to get on when she called. I have my son lives in Gulf Shores, Alabama, and he has to be out by the end of July because roommate he has is moving back to Illinois and he can't afford this rent. It's like really high. So he's gonna be out by the end. He said so far there's just nothing. Prices have gone up so high. He doesn't know, he couldn't afford this by himself, couldn't afford a place by himself. So I just told him, we'll pray. We'll pray tonight that God will show you where to go. And he goes, well, tell him to hurry. I ain't got that much time left. So I'm going to tell him, I'm going to call him back and say, you know, maybe I want you to ask him. But anyway, so his name is Albert and he needs a place to go to. So I don't know, maybe gets really desperate and have to come here. I have an extra room. So we'll see, but I'd pray for that.
How old is your son?
He's 48.
Okay.
This month, in the 22nd, he'll be 48.
Okay.
So.
Well, I didn't think he was, but 50.
Who?
You. All right, let's pray.
Okay.
Lord, we lift up Albert to you. And we thank you, Father, that you're working in his life. Thank you, Lord, that you were. I ask, Father, that you show him that you are a good and loving God, that your love extends so far out there we can't even imagine how your grace and your love ends, Lord. It just does. I've read a lot of things today about a lot of people that were amazed at what you do, Lord, and I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that right now sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
Well, we knocked it off. It's not happening.
Not going to happen again in Jesus' name. We command all of this witchcraft to cease this activity against us
in
Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right, I got the VPN going. Okay. What did I miss?
I prayed for my son. I prayed for Albert to get a place. You started praying when we lost you.
Okay. Well, I finished it in my own time, I guess. But
okay, anyway, I heard you.
He's fixing to find something.
Amen.
Lord's going to open it up for him.
Amen. Lord. Amen.
Okay. Anyone else? Amen. All right, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
Oh, I just like to pray. Lord, we know how you can send dreams to people and even send dreams to people who might know some things about you. So we ask for our family members, Lord, to get a dream. Get a dream for their salvation even. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for saving us. And Father God, just send them a dream to bring them in. In Jesus' name I pray. And thank you, Father, for this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing this. For warning us with our dreams. Just give them a dream, Lord. I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Patrick.
Michael, I was listening as we were listening to the messages here the last few weeks. And this one yesterday, or what is today, Tuesday? The Sunday night message, it kind of hit me that the Lord is bringing, how can I say this? What one of the first things that the Lord showed me was the necessity to humble myself. In humbling myself under his mighty hand, that process is worked out through submission to authority. It's kind of the practical way it gets worked out. And it's kind of a thumb in the air type of thing to test the wind. If you are in a disagreement or you're contrary-wise with those in your authority, whether it's your boss or your, whatever that chain of authority that you are under, if there's a certain aggravation that you're dealing with or whatever, against that particular authority, there's probably something in there that the Lord is trying to get to or get at. And I see that is so significant in the scripture, and it's a repetitive process, all the way through, a pattern all the way through the scripture, the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, Judges, where God's people drifted away from him and then entered into a certain amount of lawlessness or whatever, and God brought in a harsh authority above them to basically buffet them and bring them back under submission. And of course, the same thing happens, when they went into captivity and that whole process. Well, David was speaking about that today, about on the last message, about the that being connected or a pattern for us going to our cross, or a practical way of working out that cross in our life, where God works that cross out in many ways as we learn to submit to authority above us. And the perfect example of that is, of course, is in Daniel, where, God basically told children of Israel to submit. He was going to bring Babylon in, and they were going to go into captivity, and to submit to that and go into captivity, go under that submission, under that authority, and you'll live. But if you reject and rebel, you'll be destroyed. And of course, Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they're all examples of exactly how you can go in and be under submission and right with God, but still be separate, still be, in other words, they were under submission, but listening to God's guidance through that submission. And it seems like, and I believe that that is one of the aspects of the cross. That's how God works, you know, in a practical way, works out that cross in our life as we submit to that and learn those lessons through that. I was going to say something related to that. When Jesus was in his earthly ministry, he came upon the centurion that came to him or sent servants to him, one or the other, I'm not quite sure, and asked them to heal his son or his servant. And of course, Jesus got up and said, "All right, I'll go right now." And he said, "No, you don't have to. You just say the word and it will be done." And Jesus marveled at this Gentile who had and said that he had a greater faith than all that he has seen in Israel, simply because of the fact that he recognized that authority structure. And so I don't I think I say that in order to take kind of some of the mysticism out of sometimes we're seeking God and it becomes kind of a wide, vast potpourri of, you know, what do I need to do or how do I keep, how do I make sure that everything is right? Well, this is just one of those things that you can look at and test and look at your own heart and say, is there anything here? As I am under submission, am I clear? Am I free? Am I at peace under this structure, so to speak? And again, if there's a disturbance in your life related to that, then that's a place to seek the Lord for and seek clarity for. But anyway, I just thought I would throw it out.
Okay, praise God. Anna's got a testimony she wants to share with similar to Claire's.
Hey guys. I put it in the chat, but for anyone who didn't get to read it, I had a really similar testimony to Claire's that she shared at the beginning about the shoes. And we were out hiking a few days before my birthday with some friends. And I was wearing my running shoes and they had a hole in the back. I think it was on the right foot. But so we hiked almost 3 miles up this mountain and it was all uphill. And about halfway when we got to the top, I started to feel this blister. And as we were walking down, it was getting really bad. Like, you know, when you get a blister so bad and you know, like, oh my gosh, this is going to be huge. It's going to rip open and blah, blah, blah. I could feel it was really bad. So I just started rebuking it. And I was like, thank you, Lord. I don't have a blister, you know, in the name of Jesus. And when we got back down towards the bottom, the pain left. And when we got to the car, there was no blister. And I was just like, thank you, Lord. So I was telling these friends about it. And I was like, you know, this is what God did for me. You know, I had this blister and he healed it on the way down. You know, maybe it was because it was that hole in my shoe. And for any of you guys who know Gabe and Fabiana, those were the friends. And Fabiana, we had just been at an outlet store and Fabiana had picked out these shoes for me for my birthday. And she's like, oh, we need to get these shoes for Anna for her birthday. It's okay. And Gabe's like, shoes are not a good birthday present. And they didn't buy them. And after he heard me say that, he was like, oh no, that was the Lord. And they ran right back and got the shoes.
Amen. So, praise the Lord.
It was awesome. So thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Your 3 mile hike was all uphill.
That was just the first half and it was bad. I had Obi on my back and he was like 35 pounds.
Oh my goodness.
It's okay. You want to say hi?
Hey, show. Hey, show, Shana. Hey, show, Shana.
Obi number.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I used to have to go to school uphill, both going to school and coming home in the snow.
Yeah, yeah. Of course you did. My dad told me that. I'm sure my grandpa told my dad that. His, you know, all the way back. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, one up the ship here. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Lord, for all of these babies. Show enough, Shana. Hey, girl. All right. Anyone else? Yeah. Actually, that was David that said that. All right. Now, I want us to do something different tonight, if we might. Claire, you'll have to help me here. Where'd she go?
Oh, how can I help, Michael?
Okay. You remember the text that you sent me the other night regarding a dream you had? What I'd like to do is something similar to what you were talking about in the dream. And that is that we all pray. Pick you somebody out in the fellowship, in the outreach fellowship, that doesn't talk much. Doesn't they get on, but they don't talk much for whatever reason. I don't know, you know, maybe they're busy, but whatever. I'd like for us to pick that person, someone you haven't prayed for, and pray for them. Just make a note of who it is, and then in your daily prayer time, pray for them. Now I'm going to pray, and a prayer for all of us. But y'all just pick someone out to pray for and do it every day. Pray for them, bless them, whatever. And I think we're fixing to see some great things that God wants to do with this group, this fellowship right here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you so much for the dreams that you give us. And Lord, we know that there are people in with needs in this fellowship. And Lord, we thank you for placing it in each person's heart that's listening tonight to pick someone to pray for, and that we all don't pile up on the same one, because you're the one that's going to guide us to that person, and we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you have place that person in our mind already. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that these people that we pray for are going to be blessed beyond their wildest dreams. And I thank you for it. Those that are even out there that used to be a part of this, Lord, just place it in our hearts to pray for them too. And in the name of Jesus, I command all spirits of rejection, all spirits of fear of man, to go in Jesus' name from this fellowship. I command everything that has hindered this fellowship to go from it right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for giving us dreams and visions, each one of us, for ourselves. for the things that you want us to pray about. And I know you'll do it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we praise you for it. Father, you said that if we ask anything in your name, Jesus, that we shall have it. And that's what I'm asking and I'm praying right now. Thank you, Father, for doing that for all these wonderful people. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God, glory to God. Amen. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Okay. Yeah, right. Okay. I know. Low profile. All right. Now, Debbie Finsky. Okay, you sent me a text the other day, and I sent it out to everybody that was on the Signal outreach. Oh. Help?
Mm-hmm.
You say help?
No, I didn't. I said, oh.
Oh, okay. Well, let me finish here.
I didn't know you sent it out. I thought you waited to do something. Another one you mentioned first.
No, I sent this out. I sent this out.
Signal.
Let me mute you. I'm getting some feedback. We're playing tag with each other. Anyway, I sent it out on Signal Outreach. We have a group out there called Signal Outreach. If you're not a member of it, you need to come on and get a hold of it. So we got prayers going in there and a lot of things happening in there if you want to. Okay. Did everybody get it? You understand what we wanted? She actually quoted Merlin Carruthers' book, Prison to Praise. And Debbie, you want to talk about that for a minute? Tell us what you, Lord, placed on your heart about that.
Okay. Well, I just decided to pick up the book and read through it some. And so he started talking about, you know, the power in praise, power of praise. He made a comment of how he said the highest form of for answered prayer would be praise. And I was thinking, well, I think it's just faith, you know, faith. Believe what you received, what you've asked for, and you shall have it. I know praise is important. So I was just wondering about everyone's thoughts on that. You know, did they go together? It's separate. He's like, I think he thinks that he's saying that, you know, more we praise, maybe he's saying that'll affect our faith. But yeah, so I was wondering what everyone thinks about that. Faith and prayer and praise.
It's all part of it.
Yeah. But how they work together or separately. For instance, we're not told that we need to have, as far as scripture, that we have to praise for our prayers to be answered. We're told to believe, to have faith, and to believe. Well, praise is important and necessary. I guess the more we praise, the more we just, I mean, it wouldn't be a fleshly thing either. We just work up because we're praising God. We praise and work up something that we think might be faith even. So just thoughts on that.
Okay. All right. That's a good summary. All right, David, go ahead.
I raised my hand because I know I don't talk that much. So I thought I would.
All right.
Hey, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that book, Deb. I thought it might have been Missy book because she mentioned it once before, and I had forgot about those. And I picked up and read a couple pages. I have the books, but I also have a PDF file. And the one I started reading on was Power and Praise by Merlin Carruthers. And, you know, you got to look at the results. He had results. So there's something there. And I think that's where we got to look at this. He went to a different direction that we're used to. and we're used to commanding and jumping on it. And he went from a weak standing point on getting answers to prayer, and it was effective. And it's powerful, some of the things that happened. So we have to examine what he did and say, oh, okay, here's a different way to approach receiving from the Lord. And his way is the walking in weakness, if you look at it. I'm going to read a few things he wrote here. And this is Power and Praise. And this is on page 2. And this kind of gives you a perspective of where he's coming at, which puts you in a position of weakness, which we need to when we go to the Lord. He said, praise God. Praising God is not a magic formula for success. He wants to tell you right up front. All right. So take away the deception. It is a way of life that is solidly backed up in God's word. It says, we praise God not for the expected results, but for the situation just as it is. As long as we praise God with an eye secretly looking for expected results, we are kidding ourselves, and nothing will happen to change us or our situation, he's saying. Praise is based on total and joyful acceptance of the present as part of God's loving and perfect will for us. Praise is based on what we think. Praise is not based on what we think or hope we will happen in the future. Doesn't this put you in a position of weakness? We praise God not for what we expect will happen in or around us, but we praise him for what he is and where and how we are right now. It is, of course, a fact that when we honestly praise God, something does happen as a result. He's saying if we honestly praise God, something does happen as a result. His power obviously flows into the situation, and we will notice sooner or later a change in us or around us. The change may be that we come to experience a real joy and happiness in the midst of what once appeared to be a miserable situation, or the situation may change, but this is a result of praise that must be the motivation for praise. Praise is not a bargaining position. We do not say, I'll praise you so that you can bless me, Lord. To praise God is to delight ourselves in him. And the psalmist wrote, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you desires of your heart. Notice the importance here. We don't make a list of our heart's desires and then delight ourselves in the Lord in order to get them. We first to be delighted. And once we are experienced being really delighted with God, we discover that everything else becomes secondary. Still, it is true that God does want to give us all our heart's desire if we could only learn to be delighted with the Lord in everything first. God has a perfect plan for our lives, but he cannot move us to the next step of his plan until we joyfully accept our present situation as part of the plan. What happens next is God's move, not ours. I mean, that's kind of what he's taking this to. He's taking and putting us in a point of weakness where we accept it. We accept everything he's done and where we're at in our lives and what's going on in our life and our relatives and everything, whatever the situation is. And we sit down and we praise God honestly for everything. We give him the ultimate joy and praise, saying, thank you, Lord, for this situation. Thank you that you're doing this. Thank you that person has just walked out on his life. Thank you, Lord, that this person has aged. Thank you, whatever the situation is. We praise God for that, and we mean it. We mean it sincerely from our heart, because when we go to that point, and not we're not again, we're not doing it because we're looking to get something from God. We're doing it because we're praising the Lord for that whole thing we're involved in, that whole situation. We're praising God honestly from our heart. We're not looking to get anything out of it. We're not doing it for a bargaining chip. We're praising the Lord and let him do as his will is for this situation, because he made this in everybody's life. He's sovereign. There's nothing outside of his will that's not happening here. Until we come and realize that, then we can praise him for everything, and his will can go through without us trying to bargain our way through it, he's saying. That's a pretty interesting perspective, and that's a powerful perspective of who God is and who and how he works in everybody's life and makes his world work. As much as we think this is all falling apart, God, it's getting close. Oh, look at the end times. Are we praising God for this? Are we saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for the way this is happening. Thank you for what we're seeing happen with this corruption or people being shot. Or thank you, Lord, for coming in people's lives when these terrible things are happening. And thank you, Lord, for maybe our relatives aren't in fullness of you or knowledge of you or aren't walking with you. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, God. He's saying to thank the Lord for all things, first and foremost. And don't think, oh, Lord, look at this mess. We got to change this. God, please. I mean, we go after it that way when we don't praise God thinking that, you know, why did he let it get this way? We lost perspective of just how sovereign he is when we do that. And that he's in control of all this. And we got to go to him in a point of weakness. And praise him for those things and those situations, the impossible situation that we see this in. And then let him be sovereign God. That's what he's pretty much, I see where he's going with this. And you know what? When he put himself in that position, weakness, and he every other people he's been here, and he has some really great stories. And you see they all of a sudden, he had one here. He says, this woman came into his office, and she was going to the pastor and says, I need help because my daughter's a go-go dancer. She's working in this nightclub, half naked, dancing for these men, and she wants nothing to do with God. She laughs at God, mocks me, and she's just, Lord, he says, what can I do with this? This woman was distraught. He says, well, first let's get down and praise God for that. What? Yeah, we're gonna praise the Lord that she's in that position and he put her there, and this is the exact will he has for her in her life, what he's gonna do for her. Isn't that a different way to think about things? You know, and that's what she convinced her. He showed her a few passages. Okay, you're the pastor. And they prayed, and she said she got joy in her heart about thinking about it and praising the Lord for her daughter and the way she was at in that situation. And the very next day, a young man walks up, gets a voice from God, go in that nightclub and talk to her, this woman, and tell her that the Lord loves you and he's got a plan for your life. And that's what happened. The guy walked up to her and says, you know, Jesus loves you. He's got a plan for your life. And she said, what? She's dancing on this floor, half naked. And she said, what? She's so used to young men come up and saying all these things to her. And she heard that. And she said she couldn't believe it. And she had to sit down and talk to him. And he says, yeah, the Lord told me to tell you that. And she just right then, she just broke down in tears and started crying. And says she gave her heart to the Lord then. Prior to that, all these prayers went out to get her daughter out of there, do this and that. It wasn't happening. It wasn't prayer of faith. He didn't give faith to God to take care of the situation. It was prayer of desperation. Like, oh, this impossible thing you allowed to happen. or it's happening in my daughter. People, when they start praying to the Lord, they don't pray in faith. They're afraid to pray in faith. They don't see how God could possibly allow this to happen, or how did it get to this point? And God, you got to do something about this now. Well, we fail to remember that God's in control of all this. There's nothing outside of God's will. And we keep on, oh Lord, you got to take care of this. You know, this is not working. It's still short. We're losing the sight of the fact that God is sovereign and he's in control of all things. And we walked in, we're praying in unbelief at this point. And he can't answer unbelief. He can only answer faith. And how he does that is we believe the promises. We believe what he's going to do. We believe in him. He's going to work all things out for the good of those who love him. We got to believe. And that's what he's taking you to when he's talking about power and praise. And it's a point of weakness that we all have to come to. So, man, I just shared that and I'll let it go. So.
Thank you, Dave. That was good. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, before Dave started talking, you know, what came to me is you know, like if we're, like for instance, like if we have some kind of infirmity or sickness or whatever, when we praise and thank him for it, you know, it's because it was already taken care of, for one. You know, it's like, thank you, Lord, that for this, because I know that I'm healed, you know. I mean, it's a little bit different perspective than what David was talking about. But you just praise him and thank him for it because you know, he's going to use it and he wants to teach you something through it and all. And for those who love God, he works all things together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. You know, you got to believe that, you know, everything is from God. You can receive nothing except it come from above, you know, and yeah, just praise him and thank him, you know, because it's like, you know, if you can really get the whole sovereignty thing, like Dave was talking about, you know, there's nothing that God nothing in your life, no matter what it is, good, bad, evil, whatever, is wasted. God does not use that opportunity. He does not waste that opportunity to bring glory to his name if we just praise him and thank him for it, and knowing that he's gonna be glorified through us, in us, in the situation or whatever. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Lana.
I wanted to add, from my personal experience, I've gone through times where I did not understand. It wasn't in me to praise the Lord in hardship. If I were to praise the Lord during a hardship, it was because I knew scripture said so, and I was told I had to. And then when the times, now more than ever, when the Lord does put praise and worship on my heart, it comes from a maturity of experience. And so I think being able to praise the Lord genuinely and speaking praises to the Lord as scripture teaches us to speak praises is a sign of maturity in our walk. It's a sign of trust and complete trust and complete faith in the Lord. I mean, we can even take a look at our own children. In the very beginning, they only know how to beg, and then they eventually learn to trust. So they stop begging and they start relaxing a little bit. Well, then, you know, we can equate that to our resting in the Lord. And then they start being grateful. And after a while, they can even start praising without being asked to, you know, praising, whether it be their parents or praising, you know, in the carnal, equate paralleling all this to how our spiritual walk walks out. So I want to come to a place where I'm constantly praising the Lord, and I have an overflow of joy and just a bubbling in the spirit where I am praising the Lord, because that's what the Lord desires and that's what the Lord puts in me. And I can only be obedient to him. And once again, I think that that's a high sign of maturity, very, very well-grown, well-developed maturity in a spiritual life.
Amen. You girls taking note? All right. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, Missy.
What came to me when Alana was sharing there is, you know, praising the Lord in the midst of an unpleasant circumstance or a situation or you know, whatever, and if the enemy's trying to attack you with condemnation, you know, that praise in the Lord will just cut that condemnation to the quick, because you know, let's say you did something and you repented for it and it wasn't any willful sin, but the enemy's coming at you and condemning you for it, and you just praise and thank the Lord. Say, Lord, I praise you and I thank you. I know you're going to use this. I'm going to learn something. You're going to bring glory to you, your name through this. You're going to work in this situation. I praise you and I thank you. And the enemy has nothing to stand on when you do that. He can't condemn you anymore. Thank you, Lord.
All right. What else? Anyone else? Go ahead, Patrick.
Are you talking to me, Michael?
Yes. You looked like you were ready to hold your hand up, so I just
forgot. Oh, no, I wasn't, but I would be interested in if Malcolm wants to talk about the verses that he brought up there in Habakkuk.
Okay. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Actually, I didn't initially, thanks, Pat. I didn't initially bring up those verses. I'm lost in my small screen on my computer trying to figure out. Here we go, looking at the chat. Somebody else brought it up, and I was just putting, I think it was Greg.
Yeah, I've seen that. It is Greg. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, I've just been putting different versions up. What I've been struggling with is trying to get the notes. My Bible software into Zoom, but I don't see how to do that. I can't seem to copy them. There's like for verse 17, when the fig tree does not bud, translator's notes are like, or through, in other words, though the fig tree does not bud. So it's just neat to see these translator notes, because this is sometimes the Hebrew is a little bit difficult to translate, and so that's what I like about the Net Bible, is that it tends to, they put in the translator's notes with what they struggled with trying to figure out how to translate that into English. Anyway, that's fine. Just a new version I just got. So maybe Greg.
Did you? Okay. Greg, you want to comment on the Habakkuk?
Well, I'm trying to keep a low profile, but anyway.
It ain't gonna work.
All right. Okay. Look, it was just, you know, I put it up there because it really echoed what Dave was saying. The book of Habakkuk is a four chapter minor prophet book, as you probably already know. But the interesting part about it, some years ago, a friend of mine in Los Angeles, when things really started going pear-shaped in my life, sent me a teaching on it. And this is basically the gist of the book of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, depending how you say it, but anyway, is that he was Habakkuk was calling out to the Lord because there was this, really bad oppression, bad people oppressing his people. Well, and he's saying, it's really bad. And God said, oh, don't worry. I'll send the Chaldeans, I think it was. And he goes, what? That's worse. They're even worse. But it was what God was going to do. And at the conclusion he got to that was, and that's the closing verses of the book of Habakkuk, which I like out of the Amplified, but and I'll just read it out so you can hear it in your ears. But the fig tree does not blossom. And I'll read it from the AMPC. Just go back a little bit. And it was preaching to me at the time too. When Dave was talking about it. No, the fig tree does not blossom, and there is no fruit in the vine. So the product of the olive fails, and the fields yield no food. Though the flock is cut off from the fold and there are no cattle in the stalls. So it's really encouraging sort of time going on there, right? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the victorious God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and will make me to walk, not to stand still in terror, but to walk and make spiritual progress from my high places of trouble, suffering, or responsibility. Some of that, what I've just read out, is in brackets in the Amplified, so it's kind of just expanding a bit there. But, yeah, and look, the bit, he makes my feet like hinds' feet, makes me to walk, not stand still in terror. I know when I first read that, I had this image come to mind, which you may have seen, of, like, these goats that walk up a vertical cliff, just stepping on little outcrops, etc., and up they go. There's plenty of videos, a number of videos on YouTube about it. It's actually, if you haven't seen it, it's actually gobsmacking. And I know there's one of them, walking up a damn wall, the dry side, to lick salt. But anyway, that's my comment on Habakkuk chapter 3, 17 to 19. I'll yield to Dave because his hand's up.
Go ahead, Dave.
I put my hand up because I wanted to say, when I started reading some of this book again, it kind of convicted me. I thought, oh, because I don't always walk there like Merlin does. So, I thought, what a wonderful message I forgot about, because sometimes I get busy in my life like everybody else does. You guys didn't even see me last week because I was working so much, going in so early. But you get so busy, you forget about these things, this powerful life, this praiseworthy life God gave us that we can walk in, and we can just take the time to do these things and remember who God is, and we get to walk in that perfect peace that God gives us. I like everybody else, I need that kind of stuff. I need to read something like this and be, oh, my light comes on again, or I need to be reinvigorated and shown a different truth that I'm on right now that pulls me back into a different realm of who God is, so I can maybe see where I can apply this better in my life again, because that's what this book did just shortly, in a short period of time. When Michael posted that, I had a few little extra minutes to read. I thought, wow, okay, I forgot about this. Because Merlin's got something there. And the Lord gave me this passage tonight, which was, and I think we do this, but we forget about how it applies in our life. And the passage he gave me was Psalm 119:28. Says, my soul melts for heaviness. Don't we all sometimes feel the heaviness, whatever it is around us, the life, whatever it is, the situation is we're going through, we feel it. But he says, strengthen me according to your word. I mean, that's what we do. We go to the Word, we get lifted up, we get re-strengthened, we get the Holy Spirit to come in our lives again and get us through that day and walk in the glory of the Lord. And that's what we're doing. And that's what Merlin's doing. He's applying the Word of God in his life, and he's allowing people to see how God's Word prevails no matter what the situation is. And because we get caught up in this life of ours, and we used to see a situation to come up and, oh wow, it kind of derails us a little bit, you know, or we see something that's been in our lives for years, or we like our relatives and all that stuff, and it derails us. It makes us feel, you know, like things are coming up short, and we forget about, oh, God's in control. And I go to the Word and I get strengthened every day, and I get renewed, and I feel confident in the Lord again. And I, he picks me up and I move along. You know, I get to, you know, run like a deer, like I am in my hinds feet and all that stuff. And, but that's what Merlin's pointing out, you know, walking in the Word and being satisfied with where you're at. Like Paul, I look at Paul, you know, Paul had quite a life, you know, he had a rough life, but he magnified the Lord a lot wherever he was at. He said, he knew how to be content when he was filled or empty. He was content all the time in the Lord. And boy, you know, that's where we need to be, because that's just a wonderful place to be with the Lord at that point, you know. So I'm glad Debbie mentioned this book, because I forgot about this principle of life. And it's a good reminder, and it's kind of humbling, you know. So anyways, that's what I wanted to say.
Amen. All right, anyone else? You mentioned Paul. You remember in Acts when Paul and Silas were out there casting that demon out of that witch, and they got mad about it, threw him in jail, beat him, threw him in jail, Paul and Silas. And what they did, said about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns unto God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And what happened? Suddenly, there's God suddenly again. There was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's hands were loose. That's what praising the Lord to do. Instead of Silas getting on to Paul about casting that demon out of that witch, what do you do that for, Paul? Look where we are now. Lord of God, man, you need to keep your mouth shut. For goodness sake, you get us in all kinds of trouble. But he did. They just praised God. And what happened? They got out of that place, got the whole jail system tagged up with Jesus, and here we go. You know, got a revival started in the jailhouse. Lord of God, it was awesome. It was awesome. And I agree. I think we need to. The other day, I'll tell you what happened to me the other day. I got a testimony. I walked around the truck and barked my shin on that trailer hitch. That some of you guys know what I'm talking about. Barked my shin on that trailer hitch. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and of course, the pain just shoots up to your brain right away. But you just thank Jesus for it. And it goes away quick. It does. It goes away quickly. It does for me. I've learned to do that. We all learn to do that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for getting my attention. Lord God. Yeah, I should be, Craig. Absolutely. It's a shin bar. Yeah, I don't know how many times I've done that, but I ain't going to do it anymore, in Jesus' name. All right. Anyone else? Go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, well, Michael, as I'm sure you do too, I every chance I get, I pull that receiver bar with the ball on the hitch thing. I pull it out of there and stick it somewhere else.
Well, I can tell you what went through my fleshly mind, but I ain't going to say it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Rip it off of there.
One way to get it out is with a sledgehammer, but no.
Yeah, anyway. That's what you want to do. But no, you just go on. Thank God for it. Get your attention. Go ahead, baby.
Yeah, a couple of verses that came to my mind while the sharing was going on was 1 Corinthians 5:18, of course, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we know he's sovereign. So what is going on in our life is the will of God. He's also saying in everything give thanks, because this is the will of God for you to give thanks in everything. And that's encouraging. That's to know that just really raises your faith to believe and trust God. And then I like this Psalm 42:11. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him. For he is the help of my countenance and my God. So that's encouraging too to me, just to be in that despair and turn it to praise. Thank him because he knows where we're at. He knows what we're going through. And like was mentioned in our meeting the other night, David was bringing it out that he's fought all our battles. It is finished. He's fought them all. So whatever you're going to go through mm-hmm. and come up against, this one has already been won. Okay, I got this one because God got it. It's won already. So I can praise him for it. And you know, even if we don't have that revelation, we can still know that we to give thanks in everything, for it's his will. Two ways of looking at that. The problem is his will, and it's his will that we give thanks. So. We don't have to be cast down. And I was blessed when I picked up that book too and read those. I didn't read a whole lot, but I like the thoughts I'm hearing. I wanted to hear these thoughts. So thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah, Missy.
You know, if we just think about our God and Father in heaven is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He stitched us together in our womb, in our mother's womb. He knows the numbers of the hairs on our head. He knows the number of our days, and they're all written in his book. And da 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 da. He loves us with an everlasting love. And once again, the sovereignty and the God is in control of everything, you know, and he disciplines those whom he loves, you know, and everything, dear Lord, help us to get this. Everything in our life is because he loves us. Everything. And gosh, it would, if we could really get that deep down in our spirits, Father, help us to get that deep down in our spirits, because then we will surely praise you and thank you for everything. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yeah, Andrew.
I got half a verse in my head. And what's the one there about the garments of praise? The spirit of heaviness. Oh,
put on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Somebody ought to make a song out of that.
The oil of gladness, yeah. I remember reading it in the Old Testament. I just can't remember where I saw it. I should pull up my Concord.
Look at Carol. Amen.
Dave asked for it. There's a guy out in Tulsa, Oklahoma that does a lot of faith songs. David Ingalls, I think is his name. He's got a song called Put on the Garment of Praise for the Spirit of Heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise in the Spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Anyway, I lived out there for a while, so I used to listen to it all the time.
Amen. Isaiah 61, 1 and 3, Missy, that's what it did. Yeah. All right, Joe, go ahead. Look aloud, Junior.
Yeah, I've said something interesting happened to me on Sunday night when we're talking about praises on Sunday night. What David talked about the last thing you said was about so much things not happening is because the bride's not ready. And I was praying about that and asked the Lord for myself, what about the